Blog Talk Radio.
Now I ain't saying them L.A. ladies don't know what they doing. And I've been in love with New York City a time or two. Some Seattle coffee, some Chicago wind, some Kansas wheat fields I'd love to see again. But the fireflies play where the cattails grow, and them southern girls, they talk nice and slow with kisses sweeter than Tupelo, honey. Little bit crazy like New Orleans, Memphis Southern girl. A Southern girl's mama probably taught her how a lady should act. But a Southern girl's probably got a barn somewhere out back.
Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Paul Cleveland and Tony B of Brace Yourself. Brace Yourself is a specialized neck support and safety device designed to minimize jolting of the neck after sudden impact in motorsports and other related activities where helmets are used as a self-protective measure. Visit Paul and Tony at www.braceyourself.webs.com. And at this time, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to do this show to to Little Miss Emma Mitchell. And I would like to bring on our Reverend, Mr. Reverend Joe from Riverside, California. Reverend, how
good
you
evening,
doing?
Good evening, Tim. I'm doing good. How are you doing? Let's get started with some prayer. Lord, first of all, today we want to lift up the family of little Emma Mitchell as she went to be with you this week, and we just ask everyone to keep her family in your prayer, in their prayers, and pray for their family and give them comfort during this tough time. We also ask you, Lord, to be with all the racers, all those people all over the country who every week go out and put on the show that entertains us all. Protect all of them, all the officials, all the people who are there reporting, and all those who are here on this show that bring this show to you, Lord. Bless them all. Bless all involved. And be with our country as it's going through another tough time. Please, Lord, watch over our soldiers and their families. And we ask you all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, I'm back, y'all. I think I dropped. Let me bring Reverend Joe back on. Reverend, you got me now, bud. Reverend Joe, have you got me, bud?
Tim?
Stephen, can you hear me?
Yeah, bud, I got you.
Okay. I dropped there for a second. I think Reverend Joe dropped also. I don't know what happened. How's everything going tonight, bud? Miss Anne Maria, I've seen where she's going to make it out to, clean the house and everything up.
Yeah, well, we had to go clean some house today. Yeah, I had to go and hold some court earlier this morning, take care of a few issues, but got that all straight and ready to go.
Sounds good. And I see Suzanne, I think, she probably got Reverend Joe back in. I've got me a new mic tonight, Steve. I don't know if that's why I dropped or anything, but I've never had a problem. Suzanne's got Reverend Joe on now, and we got a lot going on tonight. We want to bring Reverend Joe in and let him do the invocation, Stephen, if that's okay.
Sure thing.
Reverend Joe, you got us
all
now,
right,
bud?
Yeah, we just got cut off there. Heavenly Father, be with us all today. Comfort those that are hurting. Be with all of our friends who are suffering in many ways. More than anything, protect all those involved with auto racing, all of our officials, all of our friends, all the pit crew members, all the drivers. Watch over them all. Watch over everyone involved in all we do. And please, Lord, watch over our soldiers and our country and keep us all safe. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Reverend Joe, thank you very much. And do you have anything, any news, what you have going on with your stuff? You got the floor, bud.
Well, we're getting ready to go to Vegas in a couple of weeks for the truck race and just trying to put together the rest of the funds we need for that trip and then the trip to Phoenix in a couple of weeks after that. But otherwise, things are going well, and we're praying for you every day. And it's good talking with you, and we'll be talking to you soon. See you all next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Reverend. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, Stephen, that was our Reverend from Riverside, California, Reverend Joe. I know we got a lot going on tonight. We've got Jerry Bonkowski from NBCSports.com coming up at 7:20 Eastern Time. We've got Mr. Curtis, President of Gateway Motorsports Park, coming at 8 Eastern. I know there was some breaking news coming out of NASCAR and everything earlier. If you want to hit on that, we got about 8 minutes before Jerry comes on, the breaking news about Tony Stewart, and I found a new button, Stephen, so you got some breaking news, right?
Yeah, I got a few things that we can talk about tonight. Coming out of
go ahead, Steve. Sorry about that, bud. New button. Go ahead.
Too many buttons. Earlier today, the Ontario Sheriff's Department has announced that their investigation is completed with the Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward Jr. case that happened last month at Canandaigua Speedway during a dirt car event up there. They have now turned the case over as well as all of their evidence and their findings to the local district attorney, who will, in fact, take this case before the grand jury to decide if and when charges will be levied, if they are levied against Tony Stewart. There is no timetable yet, as of set yet, when this will happen. The Sheriff's Department has said, as well as the District Attorney's Office there in Ontario County, have both said that they will not be updating the case further with the public or the media until such time that this has been taken to the grand jury.
And, you know, Stephen, that was very surprising to me whenever I seen that statement from NASCAR also, and, you know, which Jerry Bonkowski broke it earlier this morning on NBCSports.com. But I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but whenever the sheriff's office hands it over to the district's attorney, they do have, I don't want to cross the line, they have a issue with some things. Am I correct?
Well, it's hard to tell. Grand juries, you know, I'm not a legal expert by any means, and I'm not going to proclaim to be at all. From what I have read and from what I understand is that this could potentially go either way. The grand jury is nothing but an informal panel which will look at the evidence outside of similar to what a jury would in a case. They will look at the evidence. They will hear from what the sheriff's department has said. They will hear from the district attorney's office. And then those men and women that are impaneled will make a decision if charges will be levied against Tony Stewart in this case. And it's a 50-50 shot, really, at this point on what will happen. Tony Stewart did come out earlier today and said that he will continue to fully comply with any notices or that the sheriff's department or the district attorney as well as the grand jury may need. They've got his full cooperation. NASCAR said that, you know, at this time pretty much that they do not feel that it is something that they can comment on. They are watching the situation as it unfolds, as it happens, and as news is broke about this. But regardless of that fact, Tony Stewart and Stewart Haas Racing did announce this afternoon that Tony Stewart will be in the car this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. There's been no change nor any change for this foreseeable future where they're going to take him out of the car.
Yeah. And, Stephen, here's the statement that came out earlier. from NASCAR. NASCAR statement from Brett Jukes, NASCAR Chief Communications Officer, regarding announcement of Ontario New York County District Attorney. Daytona Beach, Florida, September 16, 2014. We are aware of the completed investigation and the announced next steps, which they're talking about going to the grand jury. First, our thoughts continue to be with all who have been impacted by this tragedy. We will monitor the process and stay in close contact with Stewart Haas Racing. It would be inappropriate for NASCAR to comment on this case, so we will continue to respect the process and authorities involved. That's from Brett Jukes, NASCAR Integrated Marketing Communications. And that's a big statement, you know. They want to stay out of it, you know, and let everything take its course. Right, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, NASCAR is going to stay out of this because this is a private issue involving Tony Stewart in this event with Kevin Ward Jr. This, because it was not a NASCAR-sanctioned event, they have to draw a line somewhere as to how involved that they can get. You know, saying that, however, is that if he were to be indicted on any charges, NASCAR does have provisions in their rule books based on drivers' behavior, not only on the track but off the track. And those provisions within the rule book could apply in this situation, and it'd be hard to say whether NASCAR would actually apply something like that. Earlier today, somebody made the comment that from what they could see in this event and looking at it from a third-party view is that Kevin Ward Jr. did, in fact, contribute to the to the incident. So it's going to be really hard to make a determination by the actual the grand jury as to whether anything can be done or not. And NASCAR is just at this point in a wait and see, and they're going to have to continue to be in a wait and see until something is either handed down to Tony Stewart or he is freed and cleared of all charges.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, Steve. And I sort of searched back in my archive. You were talking about, you know, the procedure, you know, which is, it's already stated. It was already stated in Section 9-16 on-track incidents procedures. But, you know, Kerry Tharp back August 15th, they wanted to come out and just, I'll go ahead and say it, cover the butt, you know. And like you said, it was not a NASCAR-sanctioned event. I don't remember. I think it was, I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, here's what they, it says, during an event, if a race car is involved in an on-track incident and or is stopped on or near the racing service and unable to continue to make forward progress, unless that word, I'll say bad emergency conditions exist with the race car, fire, smoking, cockpit, etc., the driver should take the following steps. Shut off electrical power. If driver is uninjured, lower window net. Do not loosen, disconnect, or remove any driver personal safety equipment until directed to do so by safety personnel or a NASCAR track official. After being directed to exit the race car, the driver should proceed to either the ambulance, other vehicle, or as otherwise directed by safety personnel or a NASCAR track official. At no time, that's plain and simple, at no time should a driver or crew members approach any portion of the racing surface or apron. At no time should a driver, crew members approach another moving vehicle. And that's for safety purposes. And I agree, Steve. And it should be not only NASCAR, ARCA, your Silver Crowns, your local Saturday night dirt track. I mean, you know, there should be, you do not approach a oncoming vehicle.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely, it's a safety issue. And following the incident also, there's been several tracks out there, weekly racing tracks, that have instituted a similar protocol as far as the drivers are concerned in a similar situation there to do almost exactly as NASCAR has prescribed. And I think that a lot of these tracks, they do follow NASCAR's lead, whether they are sanctioned or not under the weekly racing series. So you take a look at what some of the tracks did following this incident. They were in kind of a wait and see situation, and then NASCAR did come out with this new rule, and then you did see these tracks start kind of jumping on board onto that. And as we've always said, everything that NASCAR does is in the name of safety. It's not in the name of competition. It's not in the name of a better on-track experience, whether it be for the fans or the drivers or whoever may be participating and involved. It's done in the name of safety to limit the risks with all possibilities that you can to create an atmosphere where these drivers and fans can feel safe. And as I've said before, racing is inherently dangerous. And you can only do but so much to change that. But everything that NASCAR does and has done has always been in the name of the safety, not only for the fans coming there to watch those races, but also the competitors that get out there and drive in those cars every single weekend.
Right. And, Stephen, while we're waiting on Jerry Bonkowski, if you want me to, I'll start with the ARCA Racing Series, some of the race weekend recap, if that's okay with you, bud.
Yeah, sure thing. That works. Go for it.
Okay. All right, 2014 ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards, event number 18. Salem Speedway, Salem, Indiana, 9-13-14. Federated Car Care Fall Classic 200 presented by JC Food Stores. Your winner was Mr. Tom Hessert. He has 3 wins at Salem now. Finishing second with Mason Mitchell. Third, Austin Wayne Self. Fourth, Grant Enfinger. Fifth, Kenny Schrader. Sixth, Brennan Poole. Seventh, Kyle Benjamin. Eighth, J.J. Haley. Ninth, Bill Catatina. Tenth was Blake Hilliard. And just some notables there. Thomas Prater from Mobile, Alabama, finished 13th. Justin Boston finished 20th. Frank Kimmel, 24th. And the Menards Pole Award presented by Ansel, Ken Schrader at 17.061 seconds, 117.109 miles per hour. Margin of victory for Tom Hessert was 4.875 seconds. That was huge. Cautions was 1 for 8 laps. Time of race is 1 hour, 9 minutes, 34 seconds. Average speed was 95.746 miles an hour. So a big shout out to Mr. Tom Hessert. And next weekend, next Tuesday, we have the points leader, Mason Mitchell, coming on. And Stephen, if you want to hit on the cup stuff, you got the floor, bud.
Yeah, I'm going to run real quick through the Nationwide Series first on this. Kevin Harvick was the winner in the Nationwide Series there at Chicagoland Speedway. This was his fourth victory and 13th top 10 in 2014 there. It's also his 44th career victory in the NASCAR Nationwide Series and 314 starts. Ty Dillon, he was the highest finishing rookie of the race there in seventh place. And Chase Elliott left out of there again this week with the points lead by 18 points over teammate Regan Smith. Just one real quick note on that is that Chase Elliott is also leading the Rookie of the Year standings in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. And if he were to win the Rookie of the Year and the championship, it would be the first time in NASCAR Nationwide Series history that a driver has done so in their rookie year. Just going over here to the Sprint Cup Series race there at Chicagoland Speedway, Brad Keselowski was the winner there. It was his 15th victory in 188 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series starts. It was also his 5th victory and 14th top 10 in 2014. Jeff Gordon came in second, Kyle Larson third. Kyle Larson was also the highest finishing rookie there. And Brad Keselowski left out of there with the points lead by 7 points over Jeff Gordon heading into this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a lot to talk about. We had definitely a lot to talk about. You know, with Brad K winning, that was his second straight win. I mean, you know, I think the Penske cars, they're going to be tough to beat in this chase. But we've got Mr. Jerry Bonkowski from NBC.com, NBCMotorsports.com. We want to bring Jerry on at this time, Stephen, and let's see what his take is on everything that went down at the first race of the chase at Chicagoland Speedway.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All Jerry B., how you doing tonight, bud?
Well, I'll tell you, as either I can't remember who said it was either late Rex Harrison or Julie Andrews, but as I'll do my quick British impression, the rain in Spain falls mainly on Tim Despain.
That's a good one. And I had thought about this today. I wanted to let you know, I think I found my brain. You know where I found my brain at, Jerry?
I don't even want to go there.
I found it wherever Jimmy Hoffa's at. I think that's where it's at.
Oh, it's in Michigan then, for sure.
Jerry, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing okay. It's just been a busy, busy day. It's supposed to be an off day, but with me, there's never off days.
I know it. And I want to thank you for taking time out. And since I've got some people on the show here, my good friend Stephen Wilson, Todd Bigsby, and yourself, I'd like to make a little announcement, if that's okay. I would like to make a big announcement, if that's okay. Tomorrow, I will have been married to the love of my life for 20 years. Happy 20th anniversary to my darling wife, Suzanne Despain. So I just wanted to throw that out. Thank you very much.
Congratulations to you, Dan. I mean, how can she put up with you for 20 years?
I don't know, Jerry. I guess I know it ain't the money. I know it's not the money. But, Jerry, thanks for coming on, and you can stay on as long as you want. I want to throw you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson, and then I'll come back. We'll talk about some questions. And here's my good friend Stephen Wilson, Jerry.
Okay.
Hey, Jerry. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDonJeff.com. First question I got for you tonight is that you've been around the motorsports world for quite some time. With the advent of social media and the almost instantaneous news that we get on mediums like Twitter and Facebook and things of that nature these days, how has it changed the way that and the perspective on the way that you cover the sport day in and day out?
Well, that's a real good question. It's also a hard question to answer because, you know, it seems like almost every month social media changes in one form, fashion, or the other. And, you know, The fan of today, the NASCAR fan of today, is totally unlike the fan of not even, you know, 10 years ago, where, you know, you'd wait until the next day's paper to get the results, or maybe you might catch them in the late news. Now fans want to know what's happening as it's happening. And, you know, when you have things like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and that kind of thing, you know, one, it's definitely improves the immediacy of the coverage out there. It certainly improves the socialization, if you will, between the drivers and their fans. I mean, we see what happened with Dale Earnhardt Jr. earlier this year when he joined Twitter. I mean, that was like one of the biggest stories in NASCAR, and he wasn't even driving a car at that point. So, I mean, it's definitely enhanced the flow of information, the immediacy of information. But, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, though. I mean, I'm kind of still old school, and, you know, a lot of the things that are tweeted out there are not necessarily accurate or true. And that's one of the biggest difficulties as a reporter is to try to go through all the, you know, the tweets out there and the Facebook posts, the Instagram posts, and try to determine what's legit and what's not legit.
And taking a look as far as we're talking about the digital scene that we have next year with Xfinity coming on board in the NASCAR Nationwide Series, this seems to be the Xfinity Series out there. How do you feel that technology and bringing that closer to the fans is just one more as helps and brings it on top of the social media? I know that they've got some things in the works that they'd like to bring to the next year, but how do you feel that's going to bring the fans closer to the racing on track week in and week out?
Well, I think right now it's a matter of wait and see. I think that, you know, Xfinity certainly wants to make a very big splash in, you know, what is now the Nationwide Series. They certainly want to enhance the popularity of the series. They want to enhance, you know, increase the fan attendance, the fan TV ratings, all that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of elements that, you know, we really just don't know how they're going to play out initially. I mean, I think that, you know, Xfinity being a TV and an internet company, they're going to be, you know, looking to do anything they can to enhance the the entertainment for the fan out there, you know, the experience, if you will, not only at the racetrack, but certainly on TV and also online. So, you know, I suspect that, you know, since I work for the company that, you know, included by Xfinity, Comcast, it's our parent company, you know, we're already being told a few things that I'm not at liberty to say right now, but it's very exciting what's coming on down the road. We just, you know, we'll know you'll know in due time, but there's a lot of good things that, you know, definitely I think the fans are going to really enjoy.
And my last question, you just kind of touched on it just a little bit there. When you look at next year, the way that the TV structures, we're going to be between Fox and NBC for the entire year. We're not going to be splitting out between three different networks like we have in the past, about 12, 13 years or so. How do you think that is going to change the media landscape out there as far as the viewer ratings out there, considering, and I'll give these examples right off the bat, is that you take a look at NBC Sportsnet and you take a look at something like Fox Sports 2, where they're not commonplace in households yet next year. Those will be more commonplace for events. Do you feel that kind of hurts the NASCAR viewership week in and week out, or do you think that kind of helps because you take a look at fans won't be able to watch it each week, so they have to go to the track?
Well, that's a tough question to answer because, you know, TV is evolving just as much as the digital world is too. I mean, and I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, cable networks or cable providers, rather, right now may not carry Fox Sports 2. And I know that's, you know, concerns. But I think that, you know, during the course of the season, during the course of the off season, Fox can do what they can to try to enhance, to improve the coverage out there and to add additional cable systems that will carry Fox Sports 2. As far as NBC is concerned, you know, it's going to be split between NBC, which is, of course, over-the-air network, and the NBC Sports Network, which is on, you know, is a cable network. And we've got pretty good penetration on NBCSN, and I'm sure they're going to, just like Fox, they're going to be looking to add additional outlets to make sure that, you know, NASCAR fans that want to see the coverage are going to be able to see the coverage. But I think there's also going to be a lot of lack greater interaction, if you will, on the interactive side as well in digital world too. So, you know, you may be able to watch, a race, on TV as opposed to, on the cable, you know, on your computer, as opposed to if you can't get it on TV. So there's that too as well.
Well, I just want to bring this point up too, and it's kind of a question, kind of a statement at the same time, is that you take a look at a lot of these fans out there, and not only NASCAR fans, but you take a look at a lot of fans outside of the sport. They're cutting the cable line day in and day out, and they're looking more and more to the online realm to watch these sports. You know, you take a look at the NFL, MLB, and a lot of other. A lot of others out there that are going streaming. Do you feel that is the way of the future? That for some of these companies out there, especially like NBC and Fox, to get out there on the web, so there is more of a penetration out there as far as NASCAR fans and their options to watch the event, even though that they may not be at home.
Oh, definitely. I think that's definitely going to be the. That's not just the wave of the future. It's the wave of now. I mean, I was reading a stat just the other day, and I can't remember. I want to say it was ESPN, I believe it was. I may be wrong on that, but it says something to the effect that, like mobile, on your smartphone or your tablet, the viewership has increased. I think about 300% in the last year. So that's a huge number. And, you know, fans can take their tablets with them. They're not going to necessarily be locked, not their tablets and their smartphones, rather. They're not going to necessarily have to be locked in front of a TV television set to watch the races. I mean, they can, you know, if they're sitting in an airport, they can tune in on their smartphone or their tablet. Or if they're in a place where they may not necessarily be able to get a TV signal, like if they're in a remote area, but they can get an online signal, and they'll be able to watch it that way. So, yeah, it's definitely something that's going to be coming big time, not just down the road. It's already here.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jerry. Appreciate it. I'm going to 30 back over to Tim.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Hey, Jerry, Tim is fine again. Just a few quick questions. I know you're busy. Coming out of Chicago, Mr. Brad Keselowski has got his second win in a row. Is He has 5 wins, and he's still the top seed in the chase. That moves him over into the next round. Then you got Jeff Gordon second, Joe Logano third, Kevin Harvick fourth, on down to the 12th. You know, they've got him in green, which is Carl Edwards. Then you've got Ryan Newman, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Ryan Newman, A.J. Allmendinger, Greg Biffle, Eric Almirola, which I picked my chase grid on NASCAR.com. I don't know if you picked yours. Are you willing to stick a fork in somebody and say that they're done, or would you rather wait?
I'd rather wait because this whole time, you know, this whole new format is so new. I mean, you know, we really don't know how it's going to play out until it actually does play out. So, you know, guys like Almirola, you know, Carl Edwards, Ryan Newman, guys that had bad races this past Sunday in Chicagoland, they can recover. It's going to be twice as hard for them to do it in this next next two races of this round, but they still can potentially come back. Now, Almirola has got a huge hill to climb because he's 52 points out, and that's more than one race is worth of points. So, you know, that's going to be a very difficult thing for him to come back from. But, you know, again, that's the beauty of this chase format. You know, we've talked for years about, you know, why can't NASCAR have a mulligan built into the chase format? Well, essentially, the way it's structured now, we do have a mulligan built into it because, like I said, if you have a bad first round or first race, you know, the next two rounds, you could do very well and still move on to the next round. So, you know, I'm not going to sell anybody short. I mean, I've made my picks already and who I think is going to make to the final four. But, you know, this is such a new format. We're in uncharted territory, uncharted waters. So, I mean, anything can happen at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, Jerry, I totally agree. I mean, NASCAR, I think, finally hit a home run on this. I mean, this is super. Everybody can understand it. And it's just really great, and it's on the edge of your seat. You know, just like you said, you could have a bad race, and like Eric Almirola, well, he could come up at Loudon this weekend and win. Well, he's in the next. He's going to transfer to the next bracket.
Yeah, well, he has to win. I mean, there's no question about it that Eric's in a must-win situation in these next two races. I mean, he could do well at New Hampshire, rather, and you know that'll be great. But he's still going to have to win. I mean, he will not be able to make it to the third or the second round just on points at this point. I mean, he's got to win either at New Hampshire or at Dover, in my opinion.
Yes, sir, I would definitely agree. And there's a lot of folks, you know, want to talk about Jimmy Johnson. You know, I'm going to bring it up. I've not heard nobody say anything about the Golden Horseshoe this year. I don't know if Jimmy's got the Golden Horseshoe or not, but, I mean, you cannot count him and Chad Knaus out. I mean, he could possibly tie Richard Petty for 7 championships this year, too.
Well, Petty and Dale Earnhardt, that's correct, yeah. And the thing is, you never can count out a guy like Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, really, if you think about it, he did what he needed to do at Chicagoland. He didn't have the best car. You know, he certainly didn't challenge for the lead, but he got to 12th place. He got a 12th place finish out of it, and that was what he needed because, you know, it's almost the consensus of all the drivers. You know, I talked to all of them at the Chase Media Day last Thursday here, and consensus of everyone that, you know, you had to finish at least anywhere between 13th and 15th place in each of the first three races to potentially, you know, make it to the second round if you don't win a race. And I think that with Jimmy finishing 12th in Chicagoland, you know, he's right there. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, yes, it's the Chase, but, you know, it is a different format than from what Jimmy and Chad are used to. Especially going into that final race at Homestead. I mean, you know, in the past when Jimmy's won his 6 championships, I don't want to say he coasted, but he didn't have to win. But now when you go to Homestead, if you're one of the final four guys, you have to win if you're going to get that championship or come as close as you can to winning the race to win that championship. So I'm not counting Jimmy out by any stretch. I mean, he's actually one of my 4 picks to make it to the final round in Homestead. But I think that, you know, you're going to see him do very well probably at a place like Dover where he historically does well. Martinsville is another place he does well at, but he is definitely not out of this picture by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, Jerry, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of tracks coming up that really cater to Jimmy. And Jerry, I have one last question, and we've got a caller on the line that I think might want to ask you a question if you got time. What do you think about NASCAR revising the qualifying format for here at my home track, Talladega Super Speedway? I know you've read over it. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, Talladega is such a unique racetrack that you know, oftentimes what works at one track doesn't necessarily work at another track. You know, they wanted to kind of make the qualifying faster for the drivers and the fans. And, you know, remember, this is the largest track on the circuit, at least from a speedway standpoint. So it's 2.66 miles. So I like the, what they're, you know, the suggestions or the changes they're going to make. I think it's very appropriate, and I think that, you know, the fans are going to like it, and it'll make things, you know, you don't want to spend 8 hours at a racetrack. I don't care if you're the most diehard fan. You know, sooner or later, you're going to, you know, you're going to want to say, well, I want to get out of here. I want to go get something to eat or whatever, or go back to the hotel or whatever. So, you know, this is definitely a fan-friendly move. It's a driver-friendly move. It's a win-win for everybody, in my opinion.
I will agree, Jerry. I sure will. And I've got my good friend Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. Jerry, if you got time, I'm pretty sure,
sure
he has a question. His home track is Watkins Glen. We want to bring Todd on. Todd, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson, and Mr. Jerry Bonkowski from NBCSports.com. How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good. How is everybody there?
Doing good,
we're
Todd.
We're good. We're good, Todd.
It's
do you have any
congratulations, Tim.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and congratulations on you getting engaged, too. Thank you very much. Todd, Jerry has just a few minutes left. If you want to ask him a couple of questions, he's agreed to talk to you, bud.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
Good. Well, talking about the media stuff, and as far as, you know, watching the races on the TV and stuff, I mean, everybody that's showed the races and everything, I mean, they've done very well.
Uh-huh.
We were at Watkins Glen this year, you know, and going back to what you guys were just saying about, you know, wanting to leave to go get something to eat or any of that. Now, myself as a fan, when I got to the track, and my fiance now got to the track, man, we just did not want to leave. There was just so much to see, so much to do. It was just kind of like overwhelming. Now, as far as coverage goes for next year, I understand you're saying that there's only going to be two covering?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Is it going to be any different than, like, say, this year besides all the switched-up channels covering?
Well, I mean, how do I say this? The parent companies of both networks, Fox and NBC, will certainly have, you know, a significant amount of the races, but some of those other races will go to their primary alternative channel, which is, you know, Fox's case, it's Fox Sports 1, and, you know, and maybe in a pinch, they may have to go to Fox Sports 2. And then NBC, the other network that they'll be using is NBC Sports Network. So, you know, it won't be strictly two channels per se or two networks. Okay, there'll be four when I look at it that way. But on the flip side, you know, you're going to know that it's definitely going to be Fox doing the broadcast from beginning of the year to, what is it, I think it was Daytona, I believe it was, and then NBC is going to take over from Daytona on. So you'll know that it's either going to be NBC Sports or NBC Sports Network that's going to be covering the races, and same thing with Fox. It'll either be Fox, Fox Sports or Fox Sports 1, possibly Fox Sports 2 in a pinch. So, you know, there's a little bit more uniformity there, a little bit more, it'll make it easier for fans to realize, you know, you know, they won't have to wonder, well, is it on Fox this week, or is it on TNT this week, or is it on ESPN or ABC? So, you know, it's definitely going to be a more uniform presence.
Yeah, because I do follow the schedule to see what channel it's on, and I follow it on Facebook, and sometimes I forget, so having the schedule on the wall kind of helps me remember, oh, I got to go to this channel, or if somebody has a question what channel it's going to be on, I tell them, kind of help
right.
them out. So, yeah. So I'm kind of interested to see on how well this is going to be as a fan perspective.
I think it's going to be much more simplified, and I think the fans are going to like it that way. You know, like I said, I mean, let's not forget, I mean, how before they had the big TV contracts back in that started in 2001. I remember we had like I think we had like six or seven different networks that NASCAR was being televised. You know, during the late 1990s. You know, you really didn't know where they were at on any given week. So you know, this is going to be probably the most simplest scheduling that we'll ever see. You know, up to this point. And you know, I think the fans are going to respond in kind. I mean, you know, fans are very fickle. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, if they can't find something, you know, right away, and this kind of goes back to what I was talking to Stephen Wilson about the immediacy of things today. If they can't find things right away, you know, they're just going to say, okay, well, I can't find it. I'm going to move on to something else and do something else. That's the last thing that NASCAR wants to have happen. So, you know, between NASCAR and its broadcast partners, Fox and NBC, you know, like I said, this is going to be the simplest way for you know, for fans to keep in touch with the action, again, keep track of the action, and keep track of where, you know, where to catch the action at, too, as well.
I agree with you. You know, I do like things simple. So, well, I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question, and appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jerry, this is Tim again. One last question. Are you coming
okay.
to Talladega? Are you coming
I wish
to
I was. Yeah, I wish
okay.
I was. I mean, I really wanted to, and right now I'm hoping to go to possibly Kansas and possibly Charlotte, and then we're looking at maybe Phoenix and Homestead. That's what I'm hoping for. We're still kind of throwing around the different numbers, you know, the expenses and all that kind of thing. So, I hope to make at least another, you know, two, three, maybe four more races in the chase.
Okay. Myself and Suzanne, we're going to join Stephen Wilson and his wife, Miss Anne Marie. We're going to hit two in a row. We're going to Talladega, and then we're going to go to Martinsville. And October, yeah, we're going to be at Martinsville. This will be mine and Suzanne's first trip to the Public Flip Oval. And Stephen and them said they would pay for everything. So I got to go.
Wow.
But anyway, watch
nice.
Out, Steve.
Wow, that's nice. I'll tell you one thing, you'll enjoy Martinsville. Martinsville is old school racing, and then, you know, it doesn't get better than that. I mean, you know, the two of the places I love to go to are both Martinsville and Bristol. I mean, that's old school racing. That's the best NASCAR racing there is, in my opinion, and I think you'll definitely enjoy it.
You got that right, Jerry. Me and Suzanne, we've been to Bristol seven times, so, and then we dropped our tickets, and now we got our media stuff. But no, I'm just messing with us, Stephen. But I want to thank Mike Smith, Public Relations Director up at Martinsville. They've agreed to accommodate us, so we're going to go to the Paperclip Oval. And there was one last question I was going to ask, and I think my mind is still with Jimmy Hoff. Oh, I know what I've got. My mind's still with Jimmy Hoff. No, Jimmy, thank you very much for taking the time out to come on. At the top of the hour, we've got Mr. Curtis, president of Getaway Motorsports Park, coming on. But we always give our guests time to talk about what they have going on for us at website, what all you got going on with NBCSports.com. So you got the floor, bud, to talk about where you're going and everything you got going on.
Well, basically, you know, just we try to cover everything. And, you know, we have a really solid team. There's four of us on the NBCSports.com's Motorsports Talk team. There's Luke Smith, who covers F1 for us. There's Tony DeZinno, who covers, you know, he covers pretty much everything, especially the open wheel and the sports car ranks. And then Chris Estrada, he's primarily an NASCAR, but he also helps out Tony on the other series as well, too. And, you know, between the four of us, we try to cover everything like almost like a blanket. And, you know, obviously the chase is very important to us. And, you know, this is we've set so many new records for NBCSports.com's Motorsports Talk. We just started a little over a year ago, and, I mean, the numbers this year have just been well over and above, what we did last year. So it's very humbling. It's very satisfying to know that fans are, you know, looking in and reading our things. And you know, we get a lot of feedback from the fans, a lot of comments. Certainly the people in the industry have really taken to us as well, too. So, you know, we're very pleased with that. And, you know, to me, we're just scratching the surface. When things NASCAR goes to NBC next year on TV, we're going to ramp things up even more in a bigger and a better way. And we have actually a few surprises. I'm not at liberty to disclose them just right now, but if you're a NASCAR fan and you like to get your information online, you're going to really, really enjoy what some of the things we have in mind and in store for them at NBCSports.com.
Well, there you go, NASCAR fans, straight from Mr. Jerry Bonkowski. But, Jerry, I want to stir the pot a little bit. You better watch Stephen Wilson at SpeedwayDigest.com. I think he's bump drafting you a little bit now.
Well, Steve does a good job. I look at his the site very often, and he definitely does a very good job. So kudos to him for sure.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and I wish I had the marketing budget NBC did some days.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you're a good site, fans are going to come back and read him, and you definitely have a good site, Stephen. And you know, you bring a lot of things that a lot of other sites don't have. You know, fans like to have the interaction with you, so you know, I commend you for the job you do there or at your site.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. It actually it means a lot that when guys like you do take notice that have been around the sport a lot longer than I have.
Oh, you're calling me old now, huh? Okay, I'll take that what I just said.
I'm not calling you old. I know you've been around a lot longer than I have, and you know
I'm having a good time. So you know, I'm just teasing you. So, but you know, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, one of the things that I've always enjoyed, and you know, I always appreciate is that, you know, I don't care if it's a large website, small website, whatever. You know, I'm a fan first, and I like to see what's going on out there, and you know, I like to see that, you know, no matter what the site is, every site is valuable, and your site is definitely valuable. You know, a lot of good things that are on there, and, you know, people, if they haven't checked out your site, they should do it because they can get a lot of good information there.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, and good luck with NBC throughout the rest of this year and going into next year with your guys' first year back. You know, I'll tell you this little story is you know, NBC will never be the same to me, no matter who's on there, without Benny Parsons. You know, he was always one that you knew you could wake up on Sunday mornings and a friendly face would be on TV to cover the race.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I'll tell you a little quick story. We were at the NASCAR banquet, and I think it was 2004, I believe it was, and we were going to a nightclub. And NASCAR had provided a shuttle bus for us, and Benny was on the shuttle bus. And my wife does not get very impressed. She's been around this for such a long time as well. I mean, I've been married to her for almost 30 years, but and she's sitting right next to me as well, and she's shaking her head. She already knows who I'm talking about. I mean, Benny was absolutely one of the most impressive people she's ever met. I mean, he was not only a typical Southern gentleman, he just was a really friendly individual, and we lost him way, way, way too soon.
Yeah, he's definitely missed. And, you know, I've had the pleasure to meet him multiple occasions, got to sit and eat at a little Mexican restaurant right outside of Charlotte Motor Speedway about 10 years ago with him. It was the most amazing experience. And you're absolutely right. He was one of the best in the business that there always has been. And you know, it's just a shame. But, you know, God has other plans sometimes.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, Benny, even though he's not with us anymore, he's still looking down on us, and he's still, you know, even to this day, he still is making an impact on a lot of people's lives. I mean, you know, such as yourself and myself, we still talk about him, and we talk about him in such a, you know, a reverent and a good, you know, tone, because he was a reverent and a good guy. I mean, he's one of the best people. He was one of the, you know, he's one of the best good guys there is in the business, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. It's really been a lot of fun, and I appreciate all the comments about the site tonight.
Well, I mean, please, you know, feel free to invite me on again. I mean, I know we've tried to get me on a few times, and the schedule has just didn't work, but I definitely enjoyed myself, and would definitely welcome an opportunity to come back again soon.
That sounds good, Jerry. And, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for what you do for the sport. Thank you for what you continue to do for the sport. And you were talking about getting back on again. Myself and Suzanne and Stephen Wilson, we're going to do a live show from the Media Center here at Talladega Super Speedway Saturday, October the 11th at 12 Central. I know you said you might be in Charlotte, but Russell Branham and Grant Lynch have agreed to let us have the Media Center for 2 hours, and we're going to do a live show, and if you would like to come on in and talk about what's going on up there at Charlotte, we can talk about what we see there at the racetrack here in Talladega, which will be the weekend before the race at Dayton.
Yeah, I'd love to. I don't know. I think we have a meeting around that time. That's, you know, as you know, I'm a member of I'm on the board of directors there for the National Motorsports Press Association, and that Saturday I know we're going to have our annual meeting where we're going to, you know, nominate new officers and that kind of thing. But, you know, if I'm free that, you know, during that period of time, I'll definitely would love to join you guys and talk a lot more NASCAR with you.
That sounds good. That way we can talk from one track to another. That'd be cool, Jerry.
That's right. On the scene of reporting, if you will.
There you go. Jerry, thank you very much. But I know you got a lot going on. Thank you for being a good friend of mine and Stevens and Suzanne. And y'all be safe, bud, and God bless. I'll be in touch.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tim. I really appreciate it. And say hi to Suzanne for me and say hi to, obviously, again, to Steven for me. And keep up the good work on your end as well. We'll talk to you guys later then. You take care now, okay?
Yes, sir. You too, bud.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Stephen, that was Jerry Bonkowski. I mean, you know, he stayed on for a while, had a lot of good points, answered your questions, answered our questions, and talked about the chase. I mean, he's a real knowledge in the sport.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, guy's been around as long as he has. He's been able to see the evolution of a lot that is going on in the sport as well as a lot of others have. And you know, he brings a wealth of knowledge, you know, especially with NASCAR trying to really penetrate into the younger demographics, that he brings that knowledge that some NASCAR fans really, you know, really respect out there because they've seen him, they know who he is, you know, instantaneously. You know, as I've talked about, Benny Parsons, any NASCAR fan knows who he is, and he brought a lot of knowledge, but when you can bring the knowledge and bridge that gap between the old school and the new digital age with the younger demographics that, you know, there's a lot of penetration into these days, it really helps get the fans up to speed very quickly on what's going on in and outside of the sport.
Right, Stephen. And, you know, you're an IT engineer, and I'm getting decent with these computers. I'm not an IT engineer, but, you know, talking about technology and stuff, now – I mean, technology changes day to day, and the tracks, the sport we love, NASCAR, and just any sport, stick and ball sports, everybody has to keep up with, like you call social media, whatever, and it has expanded out so that, you know, you could, it's just unreal, Stephen, that the way the technology has really bloomed.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely, and, you know, I'm part of the generation where I grew up in the digital age in the late 90s and early 2000s where, you know, the Internet was just starting to become going from a novelty item to a household needed item just to keep up with what's going on in the world. And, you know, unfortunately, and there again, fortunately at the same time, we've been able to bring the younger demographics. I'm 31 years old. You know, I'm not exactly that old, but at the same time, you know, I remember the time before the Internet, and I remember the time of the Internet really growing. And you've had to change the way that you consume everything in your life, and a lot of it is revolving around that digital technology. And NASCAR has obviously done one heck of a job of keeping up with that, and they've hired some people within their organizational structure that they're very smart in their field and well ahead of the curve to be able to bring some of those old school guys into the fold very quickly and learn, for them to learn the new digital age and how people are consuming media week in and week out. And you take a look at the apps that are on smartphones these days, the online applications that NASCAR is running week in and week out to cover the sport from camera angles to timing and scoring. And that's where, you know, the fans are consuming their media these days. And, you know, you have to continue to be ahead of the curve, and especially even for me and my site, Speedway Digest, we always have to continue to be ahead of that curve from time to time and see where the social media landscape is going as well as where the sports coverage landscape is going so that we can continue that penetration into the demographics that are going to continue to consume that media online into the foreseeable future.
Right, Steve. You know, Evertrack, every media member, just like us with the radio show, Speedway Digest Radio Network, the Pit Stop with Tim and Suzanne, I mean, the Pit Stop with Tim and Tim the Spanish Stephen Wilson now. I'm sorry I messed that up. But, Stephen, we've got president of Gateway Motorsports Park, Mr. Curtis, coming on. I want to bring him in, and we'll bring him in with a big bang. Well, I thought
Let's get ready to rumble! Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, I guess I double hit the button. I don't know what's going on, Stephen. Everything here is messing up, but I think we've got Curtis on right now.
Curtis, you do, and you do, and that was quite a introduction there. I'm not sure what to expect here, but thanks for the intro. I enjoyed that.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I must have double-hit the button. You know how this computer stuff is. But, Curtis, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule for, you know, coming on from up there in St. Louis. And I've been to St. Louis a couple of times on some schooling and some business trips and everything. But anyway, I know Stephen Wilson was a big part of getting you on, and I'm going to hand you over to Stephen. I need to take a pit stop of my own, if that's okay, Curtis, and I'll be right back in just a minute.
All right. Great.
Hey, Curtis. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Appreciate you coming back on the show. We had you on right before your first truck race back there earlier this summer. You guys just announced here, along with the NASCAR schedule, that again in 2015 that you will be returning to the Truck Series schedule next year. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys learned from your first experience back there at the track and how you're going to be able to take those experiences from this year and take it into next year?
You know, it was a great experience, and we learned a tremendous amount. That was our first, big oval race, and we had it covered, but we didn't know we had it covered until you get to the end of the race. The staff was great, and I think that our preparation paid off, and that we had a great race. I think next year we're going to be in better shape, and that we have already named our title sponsor, the Fallen Lineman Organization, is back for 2015, which is going to give us an awful lot of a head start here as we head into 2015 to line up more of the industry supporters to partner with for that race. So we learned lots from that standpoint, and we're just really thrilled to be back again for 2015.
And excuse me, sorry about that. So a lot of people will always say about promoters that the first year back in the track is very easy to sell tickets and really pump the crowd up, but it's always the second, third, and fourth year. What do you feel from a promoter standpoint that you have to do going into the future to continue getting those fans to come back to the track and watching the live events?
You know, I think the most important thing for us is to deliver a compelling show. And that's the racing, but it's also a lot more aspects of the day. Our truck race is going to be an event. It was an event. And it's going to grow from a standpoint of the off-the-track activities as well. We're certainly going to increase the midway and really make 2015 time for the family to come out and enjoy the races, the day, and then the races at night. So certainly we have our work cut out for us, but they also said we wouldn't do what we would do in our first year. So I think the fans here in the Midwest are thrilled to have truck racing back. They know what it's like to be without a truck race. They know what it's like to be without NASCAR here. So we've turned a corner, I think, and folks appreciate what we're doing and are certainly supporting us, and we have high hopes for next year.
And just to go a little bit out of NASCAR is something more that I think you're a little familiar with is I believe that you came from more of the drag racing scene than really the oval track scene, if I remember correctly. And you guys got an NHRA national event here in about 2 weeks there at Gateway. How did that come about that you guys felt like that you would pair up in the same season and bring two large events there into the St. Louis area?
Well, you know, I think from the NHRA standpoint, they realized that this is just a hotbed of drag racing in the Midwest here, and When I announced that I was reopening the track, they actually reached out and talked to us about that and started a conversation with Tom Compton, and over the next few months got to know one another, and I think there we built a relationship of trust there that he knew that we were trying to do the right things and trying to make sure that we rebuilt the track into a quality venue, and it's worked out. So, you know, each year we've gotten better, and we certainly expect some great things for the race this year. With AAA Insurance back again, we've got great continuity from a title sponsorship standpoint. There's just great racing going on right now. The competition is fierce there right now, and the women are coming on strong. So it's going to be a good show. The weather holds like it has the last couple of years. It's just been the Chamber of Commerce weather, so to speak, for our last 2 years in a row. It's a great weekend at the end of September. We've got high hopes. I think that folks are going to really be treated to some wonderful racing on our races September 26th through the 28th.
And you take a look at an NHRA national event, which it's regaining a lot of popularity here in the United States as far as the motor racing scene is concerned. But, you know, it's still not as popular that we still have ESPN that are tape delaying by 6 to 8 hours events. How do you change your marketing standpoint to get those fans out there and get those fans to watch it on TV, knowing that you're kind of up against ESPN not necessarily showing the events live?
You know, I think ultimately it's something that the fans have to demand that. And you know, we're rebuilding the grassroots base here in St. Louis, and we can only do that by delivering a great product. If you come to Gateway Motorsports Park for our race, you're going to see some of the best racing, period, whether it's drag racing, oval racing, road course racing. It is an unbelievable experience to be standing, you know, 100 feet from, you know, a top fuel racer doing 330 miles an hour down the track. It's something you got to be there and to feel it and to see it for yourself. I think as we get people out here and really they start talking about all the energy that is the NHRA, they're going to demand that it gets better coverage, and because it's just a wonderful product, racing product. So we're hopeful and optimistic that this year is going to be bigger and better yet than the last 2 years, and that's all we can do is hope the fans have a great experience, and then the rest will take care of itself.
And my last question tonight is that with the first time, this being your first year back in full operations with the NASCAR Truck Series, so it's the with the NHRA event come up here in just a couple of weeks that you guys got going on, looking into the future, where do you guys feel that you can add events in there, and where would you like to see yourself positioned in the future as far as not only NASCAR is concerned, but maybe other forms of motorsports? I know you guys brought in, I believe it was Silver Crown, when to back up the Truck Series.
Yeah, that's a great question, and it speaks exactly to who we are at Gateway Motorsports Park. You know, we have a great facility here. It was built originally to just do NASCAR events, and they had the drag racing that was added later on. And, you know, what we realized is that there is just a lot of other forms of racing that cross all the age groups, and we want to make sure that we have something for everyone. So we have partnered with the Torque Series, and we have a Torque Series race scheduled for next year. That will be the end of May. So we're getting ready to start construction on the track here. That's going to be a neat venue, and that picks up a whole new race fan there that we can expose to our track. And we've just opened the Gateway Kartplex, which is a top-tier karting facility, running, you know, karts that are 50, 60 miles an hour, the real deal. And so that's just a couple of other things that we've done is we really try to broaden our reach to all things motorsports, make sure that our fans really have whatever they want when it comes to motorsports here in the Midwest region.
All right. Well, Curtis, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Glad to have you back again. Good luck at your NHRA event that you got coming up here in just a matter of weeks. And I'm going to throw you back over to Tim.
All righty. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Curtis, Tim in Spain, Pit Stop Radio again. Thanks again for taking time to come out, you know, to come on our show and everything. I have a question and maybe a statement. I'll do my question first. I know you've got the NASCAR Tampa War Truck Series coming there now. Have you talked to NASCAR about maybe getting the Nationwide or maybe a cup race there at a later date?
You know, Stephen, I'll tell you what, certainly that's a question that comes up a lot, and it's a good one. I think that where our heads are is that we need to make sure that we have rebuilt our fan base here at Gateway. I am certainly not opposed to all other types of series and races, but we have to rebuild that base, and I don't want to dilute our truck racing crowd until we've got that figured out and we have a solid event built. So we're going to concentrate on that in 2015. Where that takes us beyond, I'm not sure, but I can tell you we're going to do everything we can each year to deliver a great truck race so that our fans are not only fans of NASCAR but are fans of Gateway Motorsports Park.
Yeah, Curtis, and y'all will definitely do that. And I have a statement. I was lucky enough to go to Vegas in 2009 and go out there and watch some of the Cup stuff. And I met a guy, I cannot remember his name. He was from Ohio or somewhere, but he was just a super nice older gentleman. He said, "Tim, I know you're big in NASCAR." He said, "Have you ever went to an NHRA event for drag racing or anything?" I said, "No, sir, I haven't." He said, "If you ever do, it will be unreal."
Well, I think he was right on, and I got to tell you, I had not been to an NHRA race, and 2012 was the first one I'd been to since I was a kid. I think I was about 7 or 8 years old, and Evel Knievel was there jumping buses or something. But it really is an event that you have to experience, because as I was telling Stephen earlier, when you're standing close to something going by 330 miles an hour. It's an experience that's only happened one place in the world. And it's happening, you know, 2 weeks from now here at Gateway. And if you get a chance to go to an NHRA race, whether it's ours or someone else's, you got to take it and try it out. You'll be hooked once you do it.
I agree. And Curtis, me and Stephen and my wife, Susanna, Miss Emery, we would love to, if we can get time, we'd love to come out and check out either the truck race or the NHRA race 1 year out there. We would love to come to Gateway Motorsports Park.
Well, we certainly would love to have you. And, you know, you just let me know. If you guys want to come up, you know, we'll roll out the red carpet for you and hopefully treat you to some great racing.
Curtis, I thank you very much. And as myself and Stephen, we always do, we give everybody – all of our guests a chance to talk about, which I know y'all are going to talk about the upcoming stuff, but Curtis, you got the floor if you want to talk about any off-track stuff that y'all have going on with Gateway Motorsports Park. You can tell it to our listeners right now.
Well, the big one that to talk about is the third annual AAA Insurance NHRA Midwest Nationals, which are coming up the 26th through the 28th. So that is the 21st of 24 races in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. The competition is tight this year. It's really good. So that's the big one to come see, and you can get the tickets by getting a hold of us at www.gatewaymotorsportspark.com. All the ticket information is right there. Or you can also call our ticket office, 855-RACE-TICK, T-I-K, if you want to talk to somebody directly. But love to have some fans from down your way come up, and we'll make them feel at home, and it's going to be some great racing.
We will definitely try to make plans 1 year, Curtis. Thank you very much. And if you ever want to come to Talladega Super Speedway, you just let me know. I can get with Public Relations Director Russell Brenham and Track President Grant Lynch. I think I might can hook you up if you ever want to come watch a cup race at Dagger.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Good to be with you guys tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, Curtis. Have a good weekend,
take care.
Boy.
All right. Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Stephen, that was Curtis. Curtis is, I think they got something going on up there now, Stephen. I mean, you know, they're trying to bring the track back, and Curtis is a great promoter. And everything's looking good for Gateway Motorsports Park, in my opinion. What do you think, Bud?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard when you take a track that's been off the series for a number of years and you try and do something with it. But I think with Curtis, he has a background in motorsports as it was, so that makes him a great promoter. And I think that's a lot of times what you see with track presidents, and that's just not necessarily indicative of just NASCAR themselves, but, you know, other tracks out there that they don't have promoters out there that understand the racers' needs and the fans' needs at the same time. But he's done a heck of a job up there. The third year, they said they brought the NHRA back. Next year, they're bringing the truck back again, and they're going to back it up with some of the other things that he's talking about, the Torque Truck Series that they're going to bring out there, as well as the Silver Crown. They're going to be back out there. And, you know, that just kind of brings a whole new atmosphere out there, where I've always said that, you know, it's hard in this economy to run a racetrack because it's just like a NASCAR team. If you want to make a small fortune, you start with a large fortune, and you really have to find a way to break out of that mold of just being a motorsports complex and seeing what's outside of those, outside of that niche, and see what else you can bring into it.
Right. And, excuse me. And, yes, David, you touched on another thing, you know, the economy. And everything that's going on with sponsorships and as far as title sponsorships for racetracks, which I've talked to Russell Branham and Grant Lynch here at Talladega Super Speedway, and I can't really say it right now, but they're looking for title sponsorship too. And, you know, when you take somebody like, you know, the 2.66-mile Super Speedway of Talladega looking for title sponsorships for a race, the economy's getting bad. And which, looking at the figures, you know, watching Fox News, everything else, the way the economy's going, they're saying it's going good. But then again, you know, you take, I don't know, there's so much, I'm trying to see how I can say it, Stephen, being politically correct. There's so much, hit me out here, bud. Not animosity, but it's just everybody's scared to make a move. Does that sound right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You take a look at sponsors, and even teams, take a look at even Hendrick, where he was even talking about Dale Earnhardt Jr., one of the most popular drivers on the planet of the Earth, not only just in NASCAR, but outside of it. Everybody knows who Dale Earnhardt Jr. is. Even Rick Hendrick said at one point that if he had to pay out of his own pocket to put Dale on the track every single week, he would do so. But he would not, under no circumstances, cut what he was asking to put a car on the track. And that says a lot, not only about the landscape of the sports sponsorship arena, where you take a look at even somebody like that that's having trouble with sponsors. Good thing you take like Nationwide. Nationwide is moving over, I think it's about 13, 14 races next year with Dale Earnhardt Jr., after losing out on the National Guard, which said that they were going to stop all sports sponsorships at the end of this year, and they've really stepped up. But for Nationwide to step up in that aspect, they had to take and leave the Nationwide series in order to continue to afford their motorsports budget. And I think that says even a lot about a company like that, that has to look where and when and how they're going to place their sports marketing dollars week in and week out.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Stephen. And, excuse me, I know your time is limited too, but we're waiting on Penn Stowe. She's going to come up at the bottom of the hour. But have you got just a few minutes where I can, which I know you've, have you heard the, I'm sure you've read the new qualifying format for Talladega Super Speedway, correct?
Yes, I've read over it, and I posted it out there to the site to get fans kind of acclimated to the next round when they come back to Talladega there in about 4 weeks.
Right. And from what I gather and from what I'm reading through everything else from Mr. Kerry Thorpe at NASCAR, basically, I mean, you know, this is just you know, right out black and white. Basically, from what I'm gathering, what I've read, they're trying to stop the cars from pulling out there on pit road and stopping and waiting, waiting for that time, waiting for a cloud. They want to go ahead and get them out there and, you know, not wait. Am I correct on that assumption, Stephen, or am I wrong?
I think that's ultimately their goal, and they've got to do something about that, because nothing irritates me more than sitting at the house or sitting at the racetrack and the green flag has fell on the first or second or third round of qualifying, and here's 20, 25, 30 cars sitting at the end of pit road, and you sit and you watch and you wait and you watch and you wait, and then they go out. They'll run a couple laps out there, and then you'll see the same 20, 25 cars out there go back on the pit road. And they're sitting in there, they're working on their car. Next thing you know, they pull out, they're sitting at the end of pit road. Time goes by. Next thing you know, there's a minute left on the clock. And then that's when they all want to go back out there. My feeling is, as far as this is, the qualifying is concerned, is I feel that if you're going, during qualifying, NASCAR needs to implement the same 100% policy that they asked during the races. Meaning, if you're going to go and qualify, do not sit on pit road at the end of pit road and wait and wait and wait and burn the time off. If you're not on pit road working on your car for your next run, I think they should penalize you, whether that means a loss of time or whatever that may be. But I think that something needs to be done as far as that's concerned to keep this from continuing to happen. And in a place like Talladega, when it takes you a minute and a half to really get up to speed, you really see that, because you see a lot of drivers out there trying to get with their buddy or their teammate or whoever it may be to make a good run out there, and that's what you got to have. Unfortunately, I think NASCAR, what they're going to have to do at a place like Talladega, is I think that they should run something similar to the way they run the duels in Daytona. Go out there and split the team in half, split them in half based on their practice speeds, top 25 whatever cars go out in the first round, top 25 cars go out in the second round, and then you take the top 12 and put them all out there for a second round and make them run 20 laps. So fine, you want to qualify? First round is going to be take 20 laps, second round is going to be 10 laps or whatever it may be, and make them run those laps. Make them give 100% to get every spot they can on the grid.
Amen, Stephen Wilson, you just solved the problem. I was thinking the same thing. Why do me and you think the same thing and you're in Virginia and I'm here? That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, you know, I tell it like I see it. And, you know, as I said, nothing infuriates me anymore than seeing 30 cars sitting at the end of pit road and doing absolutely nothing but burning the time off. And that's the same thing where you look at the NFL, where they burn time off of the clock because they know that they're going to win the game. And that's the way I think these drivers kind of see it, is they're using strategy, and I believe in using strategy. But at the same time, they need to give 100%. And it's not like in the old qualifying, you had to give 100%. You went out there, you ran your 2-3 laps, you give it your best 100% of the time. And that's what's got to change within the new qualifying format. And I think that would be a great way to place like Talladega, where it's so large, you could do it. Yes, we're going to have cars that are going to be destroyed. Absolutely. We know it's going to happen. It happens every Talladega, every Daytona race that's out there. But the same can be said for the other 20 tracks out there on the circuit that NASCAR visits every single week if you put those kinds of cars on the track. But fans want to see drivers give 100%.
That's right, Stephen. And, you know, there at the first of the season, you know, NASCAR, you know, everybody was trying to cool down the motor. Well, then they let them come in. They're going to let them cool it down, two crew members over the wall, and you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, every fan wants to see a race. They don't want to see nobody sitting there at the end of pit road. And you definitely hit it again. I mean, you know, and just like Suzanne always said, I mean, you know, you talk about, well, you might see the big one. You might see the big one. You might see somebody wreck. You might see somebody tear their stuff up. But, you know, like Suzanne told me years ago, I hate to keep bringing Suzanne up because, you know, tomorrow's anniversary. I'm trying to, you know, pat the basket here. But like Suzanne's always said, Tim, we talk about people, and people that you can't help nobody that won't help yourself. Then again, you say, Suzanne always says, that's the road they chose. I mean, you know, you agreed to get in that race car. You agreed to go out there and run that. Why come back and drive it? That's the road you chose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sitting on pit road accomplishes absolutely nothing. I was sitting there in Richmond, you know, here just a matter of 2 weeks ago, and I was standing on pit road watching qualifying and the way that this happened. And there's a lot of strategy being played out. You can see it on pit road. You can see it from the stands. But at the same time, is that week in and week out, if I notice something that I didn't notice from sitting at home, is that when you sit on pit road and you watch these drivers that are on pit road, it seems like it's the same culprit every single weekend. It's the same group that goes out there and qualifies together. It's the same culprits every single weekend that sits at the end of pit road. And those, I think, we need to curb a little bit and make them go out there and run. And I think the way that you change that is that NASCAR fans for years have asked for qualifying heat rounds. Well, this is the way to do it. Make them go out there just like they do, and they do it great there. If you take a look at Aldor where they run heat races, they can do that at every single track. I'm not saying they got to go out there and run 150 laps like they do there in Daytona for the duels, but they definitely can cut it down and make these drivers run 100%.
I would agree, Steve. And, you know, this is the first year that, you know, the new chase, the new qualifying scenario, and I think NASCAR is making a big move. They're going to see how this is going to do here at Talladega. Before I come up to visit y'all at Martinsville. Everything new, you have to tweak it. Just like, you know, years ago when they come out with a car tomorrow, you know, that big wing on the back, it looked like a Indy car that I didn't like, and I hate to say that, but NASCAR, that was the wrong move. Everything that they do, they have to tweak it. And they tweak it for the fans. And the fans, like NASCAR tell you, like Kerry Tharp has told me here, everything we do, we tweak it for safety and the fans. And this is the first year with that new chase grid, which, you know, me and you talked about the chase grid earlier. You know, maybe that needs to be tweaked too. And this qualifying scenario, I think they're trying to test something at Dega and see how it works and see if they want to follow up on that situation. You think I'm right, Steve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything has to be tweaked. I mean, you take a look, and my opinion is that you take a look over the NASCAR series and the history over time, you take a look at the way that they've changed qualifying this year with the three rounds of knockout qualifying like they have. NASCAR fans in the past have said, I'm tired of sitting there for 3 hours and watching one car drive around the track one at a time. We want to see something different. NASCAR listens. NASCAR brought these knockout qualifying into the sport into each weekend, with the exception of the Daytona 500, which stays the same as it always has during the history of the Daytona 500. But it shows that NASCAR is listening. NASCAR is doing what they can to better the sport week in and week out, not only in the name of making the sport better and more competitive on the racetrack to the fans, but safer for the competitors and the race fans sitting in the stand each week.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Stephen. And again, a big shout-out to you, Stephen, SpeedwayDigest.com. Big shout-out for the Speedway Digest radio network. And thanks again, my friend, for coming on. And I'll talk at you next day or two. If you need me, tweet me, text me, call me, whatever you need, bud. Thanks again, because I know you're busy.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me on tonight. Appreciate it. It was fun. I'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care. Tell Miss Amarine the kids we said hello.
I will. Take it easy.
Yes, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the boss man from SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. And I know Suzanne has somebody in the screening room. I don't know exactly who it is, so if we can, we're going to play a little quick song here and take a little break till we got Tina Stowe. She'll be coming on here in a few minutes. So we're going to take a little break and play a song. and you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Now I ain't saying them L.A. ladies don't know what they doing. And I've been in love with New York City a time or two. I had some Seattle coffee, some Chicago wind, some Kansas wheat fields I'd love to see again. But the fireflies play where the cattails grow, and them southern girls, they talk nice and slow with kisses sweeter than Tupelo.
Talladega, Alabama. You're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. At this time, we want to bring out Miss Tina Stowe, driver in the NHRA Series, St. Louis.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Tina, how's everything out in Texas tonight? Sweetie, you doing okay?
Well, I tell you, all is right in the world today. I am packing up the trailer, getting ready to hook it up, and going up to Dallas for the Dallas Nationals tomorrow. We'll go up and sit in line and get parked, and You know, this is one of my favorite events. It's my home track. You know, Houston and Dallas, I consider home tracks because they're only 5 hours from my house. But, you know, this is going to be exciting this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it.
That sounds good, Tina. Now, this is not your first race this year, right? You've raced a couple, which I know you told us earlier that you had some sponsorship stuff going on earlier. This is not your first race this year, correct?
Oh, no. I've been racing. I've done, guys, several races. I've raced a couple of times in Ennis in non-NHRA events, been raced in Ennis earlier this year. I just haven't been traveling too far away from home. Went to, you know, did Topeka and was actually entered in Indy and decided to pass on Indy so that I could do Dallas and maybe do Vegas at the end of the year. Because, of course, Indy, there were going to be some big weather problems. And to go that far and sit there for 10 days when you don't even know if you're going to actually get to run or, you know, compete, it's a little disheartening. So I withdrew from that, and hopefully I'm going to translate that into the, you know, double back races at the Vegas track.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. And, Tina, how's the car been going this year? Everything been going okay? How's it running?
Well, I'll tell you, earlier this year, I was chasing problems. I was having a problem with my 60-foot. It was just erratic, and we couldn't figure out why. And what we ended up by finding out was that the fuel pump was intermittently going out, and it wasn't showing up on the graph. So I use a race pack. It wasn't showing up on that. And so we didn't know it. And finally, when the fuel pump quit, we put a new one in and everything straightened out. So at the last race, I dialed 3/1000ths off of what I intended. I was going for an 890 and it came out an 889 with a 7. And so, but that's, you know, that's pretty encouraging when you can get that close between, you know, trying to figure out the weather and the changes in the track and all that. But if you can get down to where the car is reacting within a couple thousandths of what you're actually intending, you can actually go out and race.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, Tina, you were talking about that and everything as far as your ETA and stuff. There's a lot of our fans that don't really understand your series. And as far as ETA, what is your mile per hour at the end of a run?
When we're running on an 890, my car runs between 168 and 172, depending on the weather, because a lot of, you know, the weather, if we're running at sea level, it'll run about 172. When we're running, you know, 3,000-4,000 feet, it's going to run about 168. Now, with a bigger engine, I'd be running more like one in the 180s. When I had the 632, so a lot of the guys, the guys who have the faster cars in my class, their top speed is about 182 at the finish line. Me, I'm running about 168, which means most of the time I'm being run down, which actually is kind of a disadvantage, but, you know, it's big bucks to move up to that next size engine. You know, a brand new engine that can put out that kind of horsepower, we're probably talking somewhere between 1,100 and 1,200 horsepower, you know, is going to run you about 50, 60,000 to get a new engine that's going to run, you know, like a 565, which I have, I think, is about between 40 and 50,000. So it's there is, you know, money, but that's part of the reason why we run on an index, is that making it that we all have to run 890 really goes to where the guy that goes out and gets the $100,000 engine doesn't have a huge advantage over somebody who has a $20,000 engine, because there's a lot of other parts of this racing that can affect the outcome. So the index, whether it's super comp, super gas, super stock, they were all designed so that the average Joe could go out, race, have a good time, and be competitive.
Yes, ma'am. And Tina, I know you have a few things we had talked earlier about what you wanted to talk about, but I want to ask you one question. What is the fastest ETA that you've ever run?
It was I ran 6.99 seconds, so a little bit under 7, at 194 miles per hour. And boy, I love doing that. When that was basically, I had a larger engine, one of these, the engines I was talking about. I had a 632, and I was running in a different class called Top Dragster. And what Top Dragster is basically super comp cars that no longer have an index. So it's run more like a bracket race where, you know, you can run all out, and then they'll handicap you against the other qualifiers. And so, but you can run anything. I think the fastest car I ran against was running about 220 miles an hour. You know, so he was running me down too. But, you know, Top Dragster, we all, you know, we all love that opportunity to just turn off our throttle stops and, you know, drive it out and see what she can do. And I'll tell you, our 60-foot times then, I was running 106. 60-foot, which is about what Pro Stock is doing, and they're going about 200 miles an hour. So it really, it slams you back in the seat and wakes you up for sure.
I bet it does. And, you know, that's what we call here in Talladega getting some yonder, Tina.
Yeah. Well, with 1,270 horsepower, it was quite a ride. You know, unfortunately, I blew that motor up. But, you know, you know, another day in the future, I'm sure we'll be back doing that because it really is a hoot.
Yes, ma'am. And just to throw this out there, myself and one of my good friends at work, we done a ride around out here at Talladega Super Speedway back before Mr. Dale Earnhardt Sr. lost his life. Well, we were the two drivers that we had driving us, we were riding. I go and say it was myself and Mr. Aaron Pate, one of my crew chiefs there at work when I was back in the line crew at Coosa Valley. And they noticed that we were friends. So we got to, myself and Aaron, we got to bump draft each other, which we was riding, and I got a video. We got to bump draft about 187, 188. So that was pretty cool there. That's probably the fastest I've been.
Well, that's plenty fast. I'll tell you, driving, I've driven short wheelbase, which would be a lot similar to what you have. It kind of looks like a pro stock car. And I drove those, and I think I was running about 154. And I'll tell you, it was a hairy ride because one thing that dragsters don't deal with, or at least my type, I have what's called a slip joint, which means I don't use shock suspension on the back tires. I actually, the frame has a slip joint where one frame slides in the other one to give it that flexibility. And I'll tell you, that kind of, having a dragster, you suck down to the track and it kind of like, it glues itself to the track. When I ran the Cobalt, you know, I had that feeling of being up on top of the car, and you could feel that suspension, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong, especially with that short wheelbase. You know, they're very unforgiving. And I'll tell you, I think going 150 in a Cobalt was as scary as going, you know, 194 in a dragster.
Oh, I bet it was.
And no turns.
I bet it was. And, you know, you talk about that, a straight shot, and you talk about whenever you hammer down, when you hit the green light, it sort of sinks you in the seat. And that's another thing here at Talladega Super Speedway. There's a lot of fans that don't understand if they've never been around the track. When you're in that car and you're running 185, 188, it sinks you down in the seat as far as the G-forces. And there's a lot of fans that I've noticed years ago when I rode around there, it's an oval track, Tina, and you can only see, the way the windshield is, you can only see just about right there in front of you. When you go into turn one, I mean, you've got it hammered down, especially here at Talladega Super Speedway. And everybody says, well, why do they wreck? When they wreck in front of them, everybody runs into them. You can't see, Tina. You can't see. Way the windshield is, which I know yours is different as far as a straight shot, but what's your comment on that, Tim?
Well, I mean, what people don't realize, too, is that when you're racing, you're, you know, the brain can only think one thought at a time. we think we're multitasking, but literally the brain is going from thought to thought to thought to thought. It takes 0.02 seconds to transition the brain from one thought to another. And when you're hyper-focused, which is what happens when you're filled with adrenaline, is that you're thinking one thought and blocking everything out. Then you have to transition your brain and think a different thought. So when something comes up unexpected, it takes a fraction of a second. Or, you know, I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but in my case, we deal down into the thousands of a second. So 0.01 second is a huge amount. 0.02 second is lunch. So, and I'm sure it's true with the NASCAR drivers, is that you can't, you know, you can't change thought as quickly as people think that they do. Most people believe that their brain is clicking around a lot quicker, but it's been proven. I mean, you can watch the science and find that out. So it takes a second for the brain to refocus, and it also takes a second for the brain to try to to determine whether it needs to refocus. So by the time a crash is happening, to break away from the thought that was primary and go to that secondary thought and then refocus on that and then come to a conclusion, that takes another. You know, I mean, the brain, it's all closed, but it takes a while to process. So there's a huge amount of processing under adrenaline. So things happen in some ways really quickly, but in on the other hand, is that a lot of times it seems like slow motion because the brain will slow things down. But if you're not expecting it and you happen to glance to maybe something catches your eye over here and something's happening over there, it's going to delay it so much. So, yeah, I mean, this stuff happens really quick. Plus, you see a wreck, and how often do you see where the car doesn't spin out in front of you? It's another car that gets, you know, because they're talking, now you have a wreck. You have 4 or 5 cars that are all moving erratically. And you have to decide, is he spinning and is he going to spin by me? Should I go high? Should I go low? It's like a pachinko machine. There is a whole bunch of bouncing balls and, you know, there a lot of times there's not a way to get out of the way.
Yeah, and, you know, you brought up a very good point, Tina. You know, you're talking about the, weighing NASCAR with NHRA. You know, whenever y'all start with a tree. Whenever NASCAR start, you know, they start with, they got what they call inside the box. The leader starts the race, which, you know, y'all are bam, 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 lights down, gone. Well, when NASCAR starts, when they throw the green, they throw it inside a box. I can't remember how big this box is, but the leader starts the race. And the leader has to cross the start-finish line. Second place cannot pass the leader before he hits the start-finish line. So, that's something different for us NASCAR and for us what y'all do for us the truth, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you guys have a moving start, which is, you know, entirely different. When the reason why we have such incredible 60-foot is that I believe most, except for maybe some of the door cars, we start off of a trans brake button. So we've already, you know, when we go and set the stage and we're ready to race and all we're waiting on is that green light, we've already hit a trans brake button that holds everything at a stop. We deck it. We've already pre-programmed what our RPM is going to be at launch. So when we let go, we've made all the decisions about that run prior to the run, and that's what is so big about, you know, the setup on a race, is that we've decided when it's going to shift. We decided how long. In my case, it stays on the throttle stop. In pros, they decide when the clutch is going to start to engage, how many, you know, at what point along the run each one of those clutch gears are going to come into use, and then the whole point, obviously, is to have the best run for what that track can hold. But there's not a whole lot of changing up that the driver does along the way. Now, if something goes wrong, that's where the driver's experience and stuff kicks in, because you might have to lift, you might have to, you know, pedal it, those other things. Ideally, though, the perfect lift, the driver does nothing but deliver what the crew has set up for them. And so you'll have a, you know, you'll talk a lot with your crew chief ahead of time about how they've set it up, what the plan of action is, and, you know, how the race is going to go. But when things go wrong, and we saw a lot of this at the last race, you know, that's when the driver, you know, starts to, you know, drive by the seat of your, you know, seat of your pants. Earlier you were talking about G-force in the seat. And it's amazing that in drag racing, that's really, you know, a large part of what you can determine a good driver is from, you know, an average driver, is that a good driver can, in time, understand what's happening to the car and be able to compensate for it basically off of fill, because it's happening so quickly, especially when you look at, like, a top fuel car. The whole pass may be in the four-second range, and we're talking, you know, at this point, 1,000 foot. There's a lot going on. If the car starts to get out of the groove, if, you know, if they can feel the tires slipping, if they, you know, they can't hook up, those things are happening instantaneously. And really, you stay in it too long, you crash. You don't, you know, it's got huge consequences. But, you know, every guy that I've talked to, especially that drives the really nutsy top fuel stuff, that's what makes them, you know, that's what makes them thrive. And that's why they do what they do.
Yes, ma'am. And, Tina, I want to applaud you for doing what you do. And we're coming up, you know, here a little bit late. I always like to play a song at the end, Tina. I want to thank you very much for coming on, and I want to let you give out right now. You got a couple of minutes if you want to talk about what you got going on. I know you said you're racing this weekend. Give it out to the fans, and you got the floor, sweetie.
Okay. Well, you know, a little bit about this weekend. We're going to be out at Ennis, Texas, which is a little bit south of Dallas. We have a Dallas National. Now, I'll warn you, weather does not look like it's going to be kind to us. Anywhere between 60 and 40% of rain on most days, all the way through Sunday. But as anybody who's been to Ennis knows, we're packing up our 2x4s and our extra wood so that we can park, and if we get flooded out, we can elevate our cars and, you know, keep it out of that. But it's always a good time out there. Looking forward to that. Coming off of the race last weekend, there was a lot of controversy about the Pro Stock and what happened with them, problems with the track, traction, rain. It looks like we'll probably have some of that this weekend. There's nothing worse than a wet track when it comes to drag racing. And I just raced Ennis about a month and a half ago. Surface seemed really good. Looked like, you know, we had no problems with traction. Obviously, we're a slower car, but Ennis has been around. Texas Motorplex has been around forever. Track prep is always really good. So hopefully we won't see the same problems in Pro Stock as we saw at the last race. And from my understanding is that they're going to be running. This is like one of the cool things, is that if you come in, I'm not sure how they've done it, but Friday, Saturday, they're going to be finishing off the last race. So you'll get to see actually a double race. You'll get to see the eliminations, I believe, from round two on that was rained out last weekend. I'm sure they'll be trying to get that done. And then, of course, on Sunday you'll have the entire Ennis race. Don't know, man, if it rains on this one, what they're going to do, because I've never seen them bump them through, you know, two races, but, you know, finishing the race is important. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. After that, I know we got St. Louis. That is an absolutely fantastic track. And the weather has always been real good. I mean, we've always seemed to luck out and have nice weather there, and it's a nice close race for those of us who live in the middle of the country versus having to run to the East Coast or West Coast at this time of the year. So that's something that is definitely looking forward to, and I know that a lot of the racers are glad to see that track is back on the schedule. But that's pretty much for the NHRA. I'm going to be definitely taking notes while I'm out there, especially if it's rain. I'll get a lot of chance to talk to some of the pro racers and find out what their thoughts are about how this year is going. I'd say that about does it for me.
Okay. Tana, thank you very much for being a good friend and a good supporter and for doing what you do. You be careful out there this weekend, sweetie. Be safe. Tweet everything you can, and we will share.
Okay. Thanks so much. You guys have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too, Miss Tina. So I'll get you later, sweetie.
Can I just go?